Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there. Our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Grace.
That'd be really weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, we're Mississippi State's playing Arkansas this week. I want to do pork, and I get it. You can have some pork, but, man, make beef the star of the show. That's what we're doing. Me and Robbie, we got a big old tri-tip we're going to cook, and that's what we're going to have. Will there be some pork on the side? Possibly.
Why
probably.
Not? Why not?
Why not? But the beef will be the star of the show, and it should be at your cookout as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. If it's the state script, the interlocking, or the M over S, if it's maroon or if it's white, if it's a hoodie, a T-shirt, a hat, if it's for your car, your house, your tailgate, whatever it is, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you are in Starville around lunchtime, a trip to Restaurant Tyler is a must-do for the best blue plate, not only in the city, but in the state. We're giving them number one. You know, and I haven't tried them all, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here. So you should, I'm something like mulling for, anyway, if you're in Starville and it's lunchtime, make it easy on yourself. Head downtown to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you, not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Banks, people who know how to have a relationship with their customers, not just their customers' money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Just got back from talking to Jeff Levy over at the SEAL building at Mississippi State, and an interesting press conference. Just 2 weeks in a row, like his agitation, not with us. I want to be clear with Levy is very professional. Like some coaches, they will allow their frustration and what's going on in the field to boil over into the media asking questions. Jeff Levy, to this date, has not ever done that. You know, and that's a man who's had some tough days at Davis Wade Stadium. But when he comes in, couldn't be more professional. And talked about some of his regrets from this past weekend, some of the plays he feels like he let get away from himself as a coach and as a play caller. Talked about how there's a number of plays we could if we just change the outcome of, then maybe you get a different result overall on Saturday. By and large, though, the message isn't that different. I did take one thing. I don't know if we'll save the sign for just a moment here, but he talked about how Sunday there was some, you know, feeling sorry for yourself. There was some frustration in the locker room, and as he calls it, the people in the building. But on Monday, that's gone. So they gave him, you know, that 24-hour rule in full effect. But that's the first time he's ever said anything like that to us about how the day after a tough loss, the players were still feeling the effects of that.
Yeah, I think they felt it. I think they felt more frustration after Tennessee and after Texas, the two home games. I know they were frustrated after Florida, but it just felt like they kind of turned the page a little better last week.
Mm-hmm.
But after Tennessee, I remember Blake Chapin saying, you know, we we were devastated. We thought we were winning that game. Like, we never at any point thought we were going to lose that game until it happened. And I think they felt the same way against Texas. And you know these guys are frustrated, and you know it, I know nobody's going to feel sorry for them in this Mississippi State fan base, because you have a 17-point lead, you got to close it out. Totally get that, but you know that these guys are frustrated. They're doing everything, not everything, but they're doing most things right through the first three quarters, especially against Texas. I thought outside of that first
They were in complete
possession,
control of the game at the end
outside
of
of
the
the
third
first
quarter.
possession,
Yeah.
you know, it was almost perfection for them on both sides of the ball, especially second and third quarter. And you get to the fourth quarter and, you know, it just completely changed. And that's kind of the questions to Jeff Lebby on Monday, and to some of the players too, is like, what is changing in the fourth quarter? Because this is one of the worst teams in the Power Four, Power Four, in finishing ball games. The fourth quarter has just been a problem for this team. Defensively, they don't look like the same team in the fourth quarter most of the time. Offensively, they're having trouble moving the football again and scoring points. It's just there, something's going on in that fourth quarter where they're just not able to capitalize. And so, you know, Jeff Lebby, I mean, credit to him, he's come out each week and he's talked about, you know, they've got to finish. They've got to get the job done. They, you know, for the most part, he's, you know, he has talked about, this is, it falls on me. I'm the coach. I got to get this like figured out, things like that. I think State fans are kind of at the point where we're at the point, just like we were with the other coaching staffs, where the fans are just kind of tired of hearing it in the press conference.
Yeah.
There's no, I would say it every week, there's nothing that he could say
Right.
that would help this fan base at all. So
It's so funny too, Robbie. Like, people are like, he should take accountability, blah, blah, blah. He could get up there, and he did. He did. He said today, and I
he
mean,
didn't take
he
accountability.
said, every bit of it falls back on me. That's part of it. So that's the quote. He could have taken that a step further and completely dog cussed himself and said, I'm a piece of crap, and I'm going to go jump off the Tombigbee River Bridge as soon as we get out of here.
By the way, last week you said, I think on this podcast, I think you said Blake Chapin could, people want Blake Chapin to go to the end of the bench and something about grab a gun or something like that. My mom heard that and she told me she had to turn off the podcast. She can't listen to it. It's too negative. It's just too negative. I said,
Dude,
Mom,
come back to me.
she said, Brian said that Blake Chapin needs to grab a gun.
Exactly.
I can guarantee you he did not say that. For the love of God, I was like, Mom, you can't. I was like, you cannot handle this podcast. You can't handle the podcast. Whenever things are bad, just don't listen. So she's like, okay, well, what did I hear then? I said, you probably heard Brian sarcastically saying that the fan base is saying Blake Chapin should go to the end of the bench and grab a gun, which they haven't said that either, by the
No.
way. But
Some have thought it, I bet.
my gosh,
Yeah.
my poor mother, who I
Well,
love, is just takes things way too literally.
today Jeff Lebby is jumping off the Tombigbee River Bridge.
I can't listen to it. Brian said that
That's
Jeff Lebby needs
it.
to jump off a bridge. Oh my goodness. That's why I tell my mom all the time, don't listen.
Yeah, don't listen to us. Yeah, well, there are some people, we want everybody to listen to this podcast except for some. There are some that don't need to. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he could have just taken it as far as, like, I've already tendered my resignation to Zach Selman. I'm going to go jump off the top of Davis Wade Stadium. And, you know, that's going to be it. You don't have to worry about me anymore. It still wouldn't have been enough for some fans. They'd have been like, that's not enough. It's not enough.
And yeah, that's the thing, is like, no matter what he says, there are people that just are not gonna.
And when you lose four straight games the way State's lost them, it doesn't matter what anybody says,
I mean, we have
coaches,
people at our
players.
board. I love our members on the board, but it's like immediately when I put like the thread up, people are in like, I don't care. I don't want to hear anything he says. And then when I start talking about what he's saying, they're in there commenting. So the only thing that matters for Jeff Lebby right now is nothing that he says. It's winning ball games.
Right.
That is the only way to get this fan base back on track, back in your corner. Because everybody that said that they're done this past week, they will at least be back in front of their television set on Saturday and they'll watch the game. And then if they win, a lot of those same people, I think, will be back in their seats for Georgia. There might be some that won't be back. I understand that. There's a lot of people that just don't believe in Jeff Lebby right now. But you know how you get those people back? You win games.
You win games.
And that's something that he's got to figure out how to do. And some of it falls, a lot of it falls on him as the head coach. I totally get it. Some of it falls on execution from these players. There's a lack of execution in closing games by some of these players. There's the right play call. You know, it's like he mentioned, they'll have the same play in the first half.
Let me do the ad read, because that's where I wanted to go with that. So that's going to be what Robbie is hinting at. We'll talk about it right now. That's going to be the sign for this week. The sign is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs. Business owners, if you are a business owner and you are a Mississippi State fan, working with Pip Printing and Signs not only benefits your business, it benefits Mississippi State, and we're going to tell you how. When you work with Pip Printing and Signs, when they are handling your printing needs, you are giving 10% of that sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's names through Pip Printing and Signs. You are a business owner. You know that you're already spending money on printing. Why not do it in such a way that, A, gets you involved with the best printing company in the state of Mississippi, but, B, also benefits your alma mater, Mississippi State. It's a no-brainer and something you need to be considering right now. Call Cam Baker today and tell him you want to give your business to Pip Printing and Signs, and he's going to take care of everything else for you. By the way, the number I'm about to give you, I've mentioned it many times, is his direct line. You're not talking to a switchboard operator. You're not talking to a salesman. You're not talking to an assistant. You're talking to the head guy. He's going to get it taken care of for you. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. So, as Robbie kind of alluded to there, I'll get into the meat of it. Basically, he said when they were watching the film, there were several instances where they said, this is the second quarter. Here's the play that Texas runs. Here's the play that we called. What was the result of that play? We got a sack. Okay, here's that play in the fourth quarter. Same alignment, same play call from us. Same alignment, same play call, gain of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that happening? That's what he said, that's what we as coaches have to work on, is to get these guys to play, you know, to trust in their coaching, trust in what they're doing, and in doing so, allow them to play as freely in the first and or in the fourth quarter as they do in the first and the second quarter. And that's kind of an eye-opening thing when you think about it. You're like, Texas runs the same play, Mississippi State defends it the same way, but somebody is misaligned. And in doing so, what was a sack in the second quarter turns into a 20-yard gain for Texas in the fourth quarter. That's mental, but that is, Levy's correct in that it comes back down to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He and his staff have to do a better job in getting those guys mentally to not feel the pressure of the fourth quarter.
I do think that is the biggest problem with Mississippi State right now, is there is a lot of pressure. And the first three quarters, I feel like they play fairly free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's been different for the two games on the road, but the two games at home in particular, I thought State came out and played very spirited. They played very confident. And it's just like, you know, I don't know any other way to say it, but you get real tight in the back end. And it, you know, plays are tougher to make.
I understand. Yeah.
Whenever you see the finish line,
yeah.
You know, you pucker up a little bit, I guess you could say. And again, mother, you should not be listening to the show.
You couldn't get a pencil tip in there.
Yeah, my mom would call that bathroom humor. So
hit it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, I think that is part of the issue right now, is this team just does not know how to win, and I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Jeff Lebby doesn't know how to win as a head coach. I mean, he hasn't had to do that. I asked him a day about play calling and handling the situation, and I kind of get his answer, but I think he might have missed the point a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about, you know, well, I mean, as a play caller, you're always looking at the situation, so I've been doing that for years. But
yeah,
it's a little different when you're down on the field in that atmosphere and you're having to make the calls yourself and you're having to be aware. And he even brought up that they should have called a timeout after second down.
It goes back to something, and I can't believe I'm referencing this again, but Joe Moorhead talked about it. He's like, I have 51% of the vote. And what that means is, yeah, his offensive coordinator is in his ear saying we should do this, but at any moment, as the head coach, Moorhead could say, or any head coach could say, I want to think about it. I want to do something different. I want to take a timeout, blah, blah, blah. Lebby doesn't have that extra layer. Mm-hmm. He's both guys. And so you and I kind of like, I think we talked about it, about, you know, do they need to bring in a veteran guy like they did with Hutzler? And I don't know if that's something that Lebby could do, to be honest with you. Could he?
Well,
not as a play caller, I'm not saying they need an offensive coordinator
to tell him in this situation.
I'm just saying to have. I mean, look at his staff around him, right? Holosek, Cooper, Lotholt, Bumpus. Tucker. These are all young guys. None of them have been head coaches. So, do you want to bring in a guy who's done it a little bit before, who can just be like, "Well, hold up," the way that you have with Hutzler, because the results are undeniable on that side of the ball.
And I also have a hard time believing that Paul Rhodes and Mike McIntyre are just kind of sitting there with their arms folded. There's enough people on the headsets. I think a lot of people think that Jeff Lebby's just walking around with no headset on and he's not listening to anybody.
Right.
There's a lot of people giving advice in that situation. So I've been out on the sidelines. I've heard coaches talking back and forth with each other. There's personnel people. There's so many people. Like, it's not just Jeff Lebby making these calls or not making them. So, and I mean, honestly, like, has it been, like, egregious that they've just, like, completely fumbled situations late in games? Like, you know, I think we can say that about Florida.
I think they fumbled it a little bit. There were a couple of things where you're just like, if, the you know, not being able to slow the offense down a little bit.
That's probably the biggest one.
And the other one has got to be, somebody has got to be in Levy's ear and then in Cliff Odom's ear saying, hey, kick it out of bounds.
The punt. Well,
don't do that, because.
Well, and here's what.
I remember the play, that punt real clearly, because it's just going. And I was like, man, he got all that one. And you were on a heater on Saturday of calling stuff. This was the one you would have liked to have had back.
Put the headset on me, coach.
Yeah, you said, yeah, but he's outkicked the coverage. And as soon as the first guy missed, you were like, ah, there he goes.
So we were having this conversation on our board about this. Mm-hmm. And it's a tricky situation. It's very easy to say, just kick the ball out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Ethan Pulliam in that situation just kicks the ball out of bounds and it's a 20-yard punt and they got the ball inside your territory with the chance to go win the game?
Right.
I think there's a way to not allow a return right there, but it also flipped the field a little bit. It would be different to me if Pulliam was at the 50 and he punted that. If Pulliam's at the 50 and he punts it and it's a 30-yard punt and there's no return, the ball's at the 20.
Right.
He did need to flip the field position a little bit to give them a lot of grass to cover. At the same time, he can't kick it like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a line drive.
Kind of hang it up.
It was a 57-yard punt, I think. 42-yard punt in that situation.
Yeah.
You have two people standing in front of your face. There's nowhere for him to run.
Mm-hmm.
Hang it up. That's something that I think I don't know if Cliff Odom's telling him, just drive this thing down the field. I don't know if that was the call right there. It might have just been a situation where Pulliam's just trying to flip the field the best that he can. He didn't get the hang time that he needed on that play, and you have the return that you did. That's a guy that's punting in the SEC for the first time. You know, at Starkville High School, you punt a punt like that, you're probably going to punt it over the returner's head.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, it's a little different in the SEC. And I think it's a lot more difficult to say, just punt it out of bounds and it be a great punt, than just like, let's try to, you know, flip the field a little bit.
Maybe it's not so much punt it out of bounds as it's, you got to try to put, you know, corner it a little bit. And then that's a coaching thing. That's where he's got to be coached.
You're in the center of the field too. Like, I think the best thing that you could do right there is like a 42-yard.
Just hang it up.
And just hang it.
Yeah.
Because you do need to give them some room that they have to go. But you cannot allow him to return the punt. I think Steve Sarkisian commented on this today, because somebody was like, why are people continuing to punt to him? And he said, like, it's a lot easier said than done to just say, hey, just punt it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're just trying to punt it out of bounds, you shank it. And it's a 20-yard punt, and now Texas has first and 10 from the Mississippi State 40. And that would definitely have created a little bit of a outrage online, I would say. You know, if Ethan Pulliam punts that and he allows his coverage to get down the field, everybody's talking about how great he is, and nobody's concerned about the fact that it landed in the guy's hands. It's a little bit, it's a lot hindsight. It sucks that it happened, but you know, I think it's the right call to kick him the ball, just not in that way. You can't give him a line drive where you have all your coverage 10, 15 yards away from making a tackle. Also, it felt like I kept waiting for somebody to just push him out of bounds.
Yeah, he was riding the sideline the whole way, but nobody could get to him.
Couldn't get to him.
And that just goes back to what Levy said today, that I can flip 100, you know, there, how many plays can I flip and State wins the game? It's a lot. It's a lot, and that's certainly one of them. And I mean, even within that play, there are four or five things that could change. You know, the nature of the punt. The first guy doesn't miss the tackle. Somebody's able to push him out of bounds. Somebody's able to just, you know, fly in there and muck it up a little bit. And, you know.
And can State, I mean, at that point, all you're trying to do is keep him out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And they had done a really good job at that. So if they just stop him somewhere,
Yeah.
you know, around midfield or something,
And if nothing else, it changes the dynamic of how much time's left in the game and everything else. So yeah, it's just
I
one.
mean, yeah, I guess you're right. There are a lot of things that, you know, they have got to
It's
do better.
moments within the moment.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I don't know how much that would change with an offensive coordinator, or I don't think that Jeff Lebby is going to give that
He
up.
won't give up play
So
calling. It's more about just can he get a. Because I don't think Hutzler has given up play calling either, but he at least has a couple of veterans in there in his ear. I think Levy needs one.
I do think that they should get like an offensive analyst. Like it would be worth it to pay someone to just be a guy, like a veteran coach
You
that
know who everybody's going to say, right?
Art Briles. Yeah. And at that point, like, I mean, I've gone back and forth on this a lot with Art Briles. I think in some capacity he probably is providing some form of advice to Lebby
There's
on
no
a
doubt.
routine basis. And
There's no doubt.
if people think that's ridiculous, the guy's his father-in-law. What's he supposed to do? Just cut off communication with him?
Right.
I don't think that you could hire him just because of the negative publicity. And I know that people are going to say, well, you know, that'll go away at some point.
It would absolutely go away within like 2 weeks of hiring
It
him.
would, but like, if you're already getting consultation from the guy, like, is it really worth that risk?
Yeah.
So there's what I'm saying is, like, there's other people out there that I feel like you could go get without the negative publicity around it. And, you know, personally, I'm like you, like the it would go away. Like, people would forget that he's in the booth or whatever.
Yeah. Especially if you put him in a situation where he's not on the field. Like if he's in the booth and they're like, "Hey, put him over in the corner where the cameras
I
can't."
mean, you can't deny that is one of the best offensive minds in college
No.
football in the last 15, 20 years.
Right.
But it's a tough situation, you know, with the publicity of it. There's other people I feel like you could get where you don't have to worry about that. And they're like it, you, it, Mike McIntyre and Paul Rhodes are very good defensive-minded coaches. You just went and hired two of those guys. You could find somebody out there that's in between jobs.
Give you another name.
Who?
Billy Napier.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, not the worst idea, right?
He can help recruit.
I'll give you another name
Would
that
not be a bad idea. I mean, he's got money. You probably won't have to pay him that
I
much.
don't know. Will Hall?
Well, in the OC at Tulane or something right
Did he
now?
go back to Tulane?
I believe he did.
Will Hall. Hold
He
on.
might not want to be a
Well, I
might
don't
want to
know what
call
he's doing.
plays.
He is currently the pass game coordinator at Tulane.
Okay.
So,
But
yeah.
there are people out there that you could utilize in that role, and they can also recruit on campus. Like people
Yeah, the way the rules have changed, yeah.
Paul Rhodes and Mike McIntyre are
Absolutely
doing it.
recruiting, yeah.
So I don't like I think you should expand the staff and you should add as many people in there that can help you on the
Is
sidelines.
it you just gotta wait a couple weeks? Hugh Freeze?
Sure.
Can you imagine Hugh Freeze,
Hugh Freeze,
Mississippi State offensive analyst?
director of recruiting.
Oh, I would definitely want him involved in that. Yeah, for
Somebody
sure.
would hire. He can't work under anybody.
No, he can't. No,
He go be a head coach at
he'll go. He'll
another Liberty.
yeah. He'll figure something out there. So, as always, just an interesting conversation with Lebby. I feel like when we talk to him that he's not BSing us at least.
Yeah.
There's obviously we've had some coaches that are BSing us, but at the same time, he's still a coach speaky guy.
Yeah, he is.
So.
But he has opened up a little
I would
more.
like if State could win a couple games, I really think we could see the real true Jeff Lebby.
You,
But
here's the thing about Jeff Lebby. If State was winning right now, he would be one of the most beloved coaches that State has had in a while.
Yeah.
Because he is a likable guy, and he's got that swagger to him. He's got a little bit of that swagger to him. He's still kind of young and energetic in a lot of ways. It really right now is about with his fan base, like he's just not winning. And that's the crazy thing we talked about after the game is like you can see it. You can see how close this team is. That's why everybody is so frustrated because they should be 7-1. They could very easily be 7-1, and they're not. They're 4-4 instead. So everybody's frustrated because they are close. They know that they're capable of doing
Yeah, like
this.
the level of frustration was not the same last year
No,
when it was just
last
like, ah,
year
they're
was
just
just
terrible. And
helplessness.
he said that today. He said, this is a good football team. Last year we weren't.
And
Just
it
straight up.
and it and like he has admitted the last he said it the last 2 weeks. He's
Yeah.
admitted, I couldn't say this last year,
Yeah.
but I'll say it now
Yeah.
that we were not in position to go win games. We basically said play hard, play as hard as we can. We game plan and everything, but you play as hard as you can, and maybe the ball will bounce our way.
Yeah.
That was their mindset last year. He
Yeah.
said, I couldn't tell the guys that, but that's exactly what how we that's exactly how we approached it, is we've just got to have some things fall our way. This year is not the case.
Right.
And I love the fact that he's not making excuses. Like he's coming out and saying, we are good enough to win these games. We're not doing it.
Right.
So we got to do it. And it's that simple now. They have to find a way to win.
Yeah. I texted you this morning. I was not aware Mississippi State is a 4.5 point underdog to Arkansas. I'm very surprised by that.
It's the irresistible
No,
force or
it's the
the resistible
resistible
force or
force
the immovable
versus the
object.
movable object.
That's right.
There you go. So,
I got that wrong. It was an irresistible
but
force
here's
or
the
the
thing,
immovable
like
object.
State's
So
offense last week against a really good defense, 38 points and almost 500 yards.
they should be able to
They should be able
score.
to score almost at will on this Arkansas defense. It's just, can they get enough stops? And he talked about Taylen Green today, called him elite in everything he does. I agree with that. I think
He destroyed State last year.
here's something that's nobody's like, it's been such a disappointing year for quarterbacks, right? It's the guys we expected, like Nussmeier, not good. Manning has not been great.
Well, where Sellers hasn't been
Has been
great.
great. Lagway, not great. Drew Allar is hurt. He's out for the season. And then just kind of quietly, Taylen Green, he's got to be a first round pick.
He's really good.
Yeah.
If he was playing anywhere else, like that had a heartbeat,
Yeah.
he would be
Yeah.
talked about in
If he
high.
was at LSU,
Yeah.
yeah.
If he had more pieces around him and was playing at a bigger brand of a team that
Yeah.
was winning, yeah. And
Agree.
that's what sucks for them is like their defense has been so dreadful and they haven't finished in the red zone. They've gave the game away against Ole Miss. They gave the game away against Tennessee. Kind of, they were in fairly good control, but they've been like State. They've been really close,
Yeah.
and their offense has been carrying
And
them.
that's what's going to be interesting this weekend is somebody who's been close is finally going to
Yep.
break through, and who's it going to be? So, all
Yep.
right, well, a lot more Arkansas talk, obviously, as the week goes on. Let's move into our SEC picks. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two fantastic places to eat right next door to each other in the heart of the Cotton District, the place where everything happens in Starkville. If you are thinking ahead to this weekend, like, I want to go watch some college football, but I want to get out of the house to do it, Two Brothers is a fantastic spot. Great food, big TVs all over the place, great atmosphere in there to watch a little college football. But whenever you're hungry, a trip to Two Brothers is always a great, great idea, as is the Older Brother. Two fantastic restaurants, Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And that way, you know, whatever you buy, you know that if something goes wrong, you can call them back on that same number, talk to the same people, and get the same kind of service that got it to you and come and fix it as well. Service after the sale is why Advantage Business Systems has been doing business for 50 years. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for new Mississippi State gear, if you're looking for some great Mississippi State gear, everything maroon and white, everything with the logos that you want, everything Mississippi State is at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You can use it in-store or online at maroonandco.com to save 15% off regular price. Holidays are coming up, guys. It's time to start getting some ideas in place for your Christmas. Maroon & Co. can put everything you want Mississippi State under the tree. Before you go to your next game at Davis-Wade Stadium, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. We're running out of time to mow grass, and that's a sad day for a lot of people out there. But that doesn't mean that you can't be thinking ahead to next spring when it's time to get back out there and get yourself a new John Deere commercial mower. Maybe that's your Christmas present to yourself. Hey, taking care of the lawn, that's your responsibility, take care of yourself. Get yourself a gift. And who's going to complain? Like, oh, well, you didn't want the lawn to look good? No one's going to do that. Our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden are here to help. Their credit department can talk to anybody and get you a great deal. And in some cases, 0% financing for as many as 60 months. They're giving them away. If you want to see an incredible selection of John Deere commercial mowers, gators, and compact tractors, go see my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner, doesn't matter if you've only got a couple hundred acres or a couple thousand acres, the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber are here to help you maintain your property at the level you want. What are you doing with your property right now? What are you trying to get done? Whatever it is, the good folks at Good Hope Land and Timber can help you get taken care of, all right? They've got an expert team, fully trained under the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. They're following all of the best management practices. You can trust your land is in good hands. So if you just bought the land or if you owned it for a long time, whatever it is, call Good Hope Land and Timber to help you with all your needs. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, Robbie Falk still up one game in this little pick'em contest we've got going. So I need to make up some ground this week. Let's see if I can do it. 11 a.m. kick. Oh, yeah. This is the good stuff right here. Vanderbilt at Texas. Diego Pavia. This is a massive game for the Pavia legacy.
Yeah. I mean, they
go on the road and beat Texas, they're probably going to the playoff.
People still are not talking enough about them going to the playoff.
I agree with that.
This is a legitimately really, really good team.
As we sit here today, Robbie, Steve Sarkisian reported that Arch Manning did not practice on Monday. He's in concussion protocol. You remember at the end of the Mississippi State game, he hit his head going down, came out of that game. And so do we need to wait and make this pick? You want to until like Thursday and see if we can get a little more clarity whether or not he's going to play? Because
I mean, either you think Texas beats Vandy or not. In my opinion, like
if I picked Texas like, today because I think Arch is going to play, and then he doesn't play, I feel like, you know, I would like to be able to come back and can we say make a pick today? But if the injury status changes, we're allowed to make a change. What do you want to do?
I mean, I guess we can.
Okay. Well, then what's your pick?
I'm gonna go Vandy.
See, I am too. So I was trying to see if I could play some reverse psychology on you.
I mean, I was probably gonna pick Vandy with Arch Manning.
I am. Yeah, I absolutely think Vanderbilt's gonna win this game.
And I just think they're the tougher team. I think they're mentally, especially. You know, I still was not impressed with Texas even last week. I thought State should have beaten them by four touchdowns, and they just gave it. They gave them all the momentum. So I'm not impressed with Texas at all. I don't think they're a top 25 team. So I'm going to take Vandy.
All right. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party, 2:30 kick on ABC, Georgia versus Florida. I will say this, Robbie. Normally when you have like a new coach, they get a little bump, and I would normally take that into account. But when the new coach is Billy Gonzalez, I feel like you get a reverse bump. I feel like you're going to play worse.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Florida.
You got to take the Bulldogs here.
Yes.
All right. Kentucky at Auburn. I'll say this. This past, so we haven't talked about it, but Brian Kelly, obviously no longer with us. Not that he's dead. He just no longer LSU. He has passed away as LSU's head coach.
One of the worst bits ever.
I thought coming into this past weekend that an SEC coach was going to get fired. I thought it was going to be Hugh Freeze. He survives.
The way that first half was going,
I thought it was going to be him. He survives to live another day. If they lose to Kentucky, he will not survive. That'll be that for him. That being said, I will not predict that. I will go with the Tigers.
Yes, okay. Kentucky stinks.
All right. I think we're not going to have any differences this week. South Carolina at Ole Miss. South Carolina, I think they that was the last gasp for them. If they had beaten Alabama, they could have really made things interesting this week with Ole Miss. But as it is, the Rebels know now they just have to keep winning, and they will get into the tournament. They know the playoff. They know they can even afford a loss, but it won't be here, I don't think.
I mean, they have 3-5 Carolina. They have 3-5 Florida or whatever they are in the Citadel before they play the Egg Bowl.
Just, right.
What a schedule. Yeah, and South Carolina, you know, they you never know with Lenore Sellers, and they have some pieces on defense. It just this all feels like Shane Beamer to Virginia Tech. Like it just feels like they're kind of going through the motions here, and he's not going to be the coach there next year.
Again, if they had won this past week, I might have considered the upset potential.
Yeah,
but as it is now, we'll both take the Rebels. Oklahoma at Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to put a whooping on Oklahoma.
Just like I think we're just kind of seeing Oklahoma get exposed. They're,
you know what's
they're playing
funny?
They're playing good teams now. Yeah. And
so here are the teams that I was not high on preseason. Arkansas, right on the money. Yeah. Right. Florida, right on the money. Kentucky, that was a little obvious. Mississippi State, and I guess we'll see, right? I was not high on Vanderbilt. I missed that one. That was a miss. And then Oklahoma. And, you know, they started out 5-0, and I was like, all right, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong about the Sooners. I don't think I was. They're a little better than I thought they were going to be, but at the end of the day, I think it's all the same. They're going to fire Venables at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, what's the win total he has to get to? 9?
That's not going to happen.
Like, would they be okay with
at 9-3, they would keep him, but here they're 6-2, right? This is the next five for Oklahoma. They are at Tennessee. I'm sorry, last four games. They're at Tennessee, at Alabama, they have Missouri, and then they host LSU.
Loss, loss, loss.
Loss. I mean, they might win, but I don't know. And then LSU, who knows what LSU is going to be now?
Yeah.
The former Mississippi State Bulldog assistant for 15 minutes, Frank Wilson, is their head coach.
Exactly.
One of the all-time great, if you know, you know stories, is the Frank Wilson tenure at Mississippi State.
Yeah. Would have been Mullen's running back coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what a domino that is, because instead you get Greg Knox, who has been a pillar of the community for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And Knox was a really good running back coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Taking the Vols.
I would like to. I'm very interested to see how LSU plays. You know they're going to be pumped up.
Yeah. They don't play this week, so they got a bye. They got the bye week to think, but they have Alabama next.
They love Frank Wilson there.
You don't think he beat Alabama?
I don't know, man. The weird things happen with LSU.
You're not wrong.
It's one of those things.
That hoodoo.
I think it was Ross Dillinger a few years ago said, like, it is never a dull moment, even one way or the other. They had that 2019 season, and then the disaster that was, you know, the end of Ed Orgeron. Like, you went from that to what you got from Eddie O after that. And like, it's never a dull moment. It's either going one way or the other. So it would not shock me in the least to see them get kind of a jolt here down the line before they bring in whoever's going to be their coach, which I'm very interested to see who the coach is. I think this job, if I was an Ole Miss fan, would scare me more than Florida for Lane Kiffin. This is a job that I
Well, if
think,
you,
yeah, this
yeah,
is a
for
job that
sure.
I think, I don't know if he can turn this job down.
He cannot.
Florida, he can.
LSU is a top five job.
Florida, you can argue, like people are arguing. I don't agree with it. I think Florida is a better job than Ole Miss in its totality.
Well, Florida is a top 10 to 15, maybe it's top 10 to 15 job. LSU's top five.
LSU is
LSU is on the same
elite.
tier with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, LSU, and then Texas.
Well,
That's the top
you had a
five.
guy that ate grass, and other one that ate nails, win national championships and SEC titles.
I never actually ate a nail.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the
Just
guys that
joking.
you that's the three straight coaches won national championships, and Brian Kelly was the outlier, which tells you how bad a fit he was that he could not win a national championship there. So yeah, it's going to be tough. Either way, Kiffin's going to make a lot of money.
We say all that to say we're taking Tennessee to beat Oklahoma.
Yes.
All right. So no differences for us this week. I'll try again next week to catch up with Robbie. Or will he continue to play defense? We don't know.
In defense,
Feel like there's some let me see. I'm looking at next week's
I picked
schedule.
Texas before you did. I mean, I
Next
picked Vandy before you did.
week's schedule, we're going to agree on every game. Let's go ahead and tell you. Well, yeah, no, we will. We will. So, all right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what that means. Get your questions in, and we will answer them. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.